And may the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul says to give thanks in all things. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, he says, give thanks for all things. Philippians chapter 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And then he repeats himself, and again I say, rejoice. As I've mentioned to you before, that was not Paul's natural personality type. He would be more prone in his humanity to be sort of grumpy, exacting, and not very easy to be with. But the Holy Spirit had done a work in his heart. The kingdom of God was within him. That place in Philippians when it says, rejoice, Lord, always, you're going to say rejoice. The excuse for doing that, the very next phrase is, for the Lord is at hand. The Lord's presence is here. Which does change everything. It changes the lens through which you see all realities. There's a place in James that says, this is James chapter 3, verse 13. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior, his deeds, and the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but it's earthly, it's fleshly, and it's demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, and then peaceable, and gentle, and reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And its fruit is righteousness. Now, the main thing I wanted you to see there is that James says there are two kinds of wisdom. There's wisdom which comes from above, God, and then there's wisdom which is earthly, and fleshly, and it's demonic. That's the only two kind of wisdoms. Everybody's either operating under one kind of wisdom or another kind of wisdom. In Acts chapter 5, this amazing time in the early church where there was just extravagant expressions of obedience and surrender. Everybody was giving all that they had, laying at the apostles' feet, because at Pentecost, so many people had come from around the world to be a part of the Pentecost celebration, had encountered Christ, had been filled with the Holy Spirit, and never went home. So they had nowhere to live. And so people were having to share homes and places to stay. And so they were giving everything to the apostles in common so that they could share with folks who could have enough to live on. It says in verse 1 of chapter 5, a certain man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property, but kept back some of the price for himself, with his wife's full knowledge, and bringing a portion of it, he laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back some of the price of the land? You understand, he wasn't saying that Ananias was demon-possessed. But what he is saying, and it's a great biblical example of that, what it says in James, the wisdom that doesn't come from above is earthly and fleshly. But if it's earthly and fleshly, it has a demonic element to it. And it doesn't mean that a person has demons or is demon-possessed, but it does mean that Satan has an inside worker. Just like if you were going to break into a bank, and if you had somebody in the bank, working in the bank, it's a lot easier to steal from the bank. And so that fallen sin principle in us, our flesh is Satan's inside worker. And what he does, and what demonic spirits do, they stir up our flesh. Our flesh is fallen anyway, and they just stir up our flesh. And he says about Ananias, he says, Satan put it in your heart. Now, Ananias had to agree to it. He had to say yes to it. And I'm sure in his own mind, he was just having a very simple monologue about the smart thing to do is sell the property and act like you're giving it all away like everybody else does, but keep some back for yourself. But the truth is, the monologue was a dialogue. And the conversation in his head that sounded a lot like his own voice and his own thoughts was actually a demonic one. And he ended up doing something that was very fleshy, very earthy, but it was also demonic. And all these will be connected. This is Philippians chapter 2. Verse 12, so then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but also how much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or complaining, that you may prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you are to be as lights in the world. This is Psalm 106, verse 24 and 25. Then they despised the pleasant land, talking about the Jews, the Hebrew people, when they came to Kadesh Barnea and believed the evil report, the 10 spies, and didn't go in, but grumbled in their tents. They did not listen to the voice of the Lord. All that was to say this. There are two kinds of wisdoms. You're listening to one thing or another. If it's just your flesh, it's not just your flesh. There are demonic influences and things that impact us in the spiritual realm. There's wisdom that comes from above. There's wisdom that comes from the flesh, which has a demonic element to it. The enemy wants to put things in our hearts. We have to own them. We're responsible for them, but it has its place in the fall and spiritual warfare. Ephesians, that Philippians passage, says that we're to do all things without grumbling or complaining. And in doing that, we're proving ourselves to be lights in the world. And that 106, Psalm 106 says this, if you grumble in your tent, your dwelling, your life, your little world, if what you spend your time grumbling, it says, for they did not listen to the voice of the Lord. If grumbling and complaining is a part of who you are, that's not just your personality type. I mean, it may be your weakness in your flesh. That may be something you're prone towards. Everybody has certain weaknesses that the enemy takes advantage of. But grumbling in your tent is just proof that you've not been listening to the voice of the Lord. And if you've not been listening to the voice of the Lord, there's only one other voice you've been listening to. Your own voice, the voice of your flesh, which has demonic influence. Very simple. I say I've shared this before, you may have read this. Bill Johnson says that if complaining is just proof that you've learned how to hear the voice of the devil. That's a great verse. Some of you might want to put it down and put it on a magnet on your refrigerator. They did not believe in his word, but grumbled in their tents. They did not listen to the voice of the Lord. If you grumble in your tent, that's a good way to see it too. That's one reason I want to give this word to you. If you find yourself grumbling in your tent, catch yourself. That means that whatever you think you're having is not a monologue. You're not just entertaining thoughts in your head. It's a dialogue with the enemy. It's proof. If you're grumbling in your tent, it's proof that you're not hearing the voice of God, that you're listening to the voice of the devil. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.